The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of Outlander Cast is brought to you by Caswell Massey, America's original apothecary company since 1752.
Hey y'all, this is Meredith Bastillo from Nashville, Tennessee, and you're listening to Outlander Cast with Mary and Blake.
All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars.
Sing me a song.
Hello, hello, everybody. How's it going? My name's Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I've never thought I have ever been so corrected in my life as I have been with them things that Claire was wearing on her calves and on her boots and everything. the stuff that I told you that I wanted to get you to wear because yes. I thought it was kind of sexy. Yeah, they're called gaiters. Sometimes they're called spats. Sometimes there's another. You get 18 freaking million different names for these things that you wear and I just call them boot covers. How's that?
Sounds great.
Boot cover. Man. And thank you everybody for actually
edumacating Blake.
Totally educating me. It shows you how I said edumacating. Yeah, I know. It shows you how little I've been involved with the wildlife wildlife.
I don't even know when's the last time you've been outside.
I was outside today. I had to drive to get to work.
Actually, outside touching grass.
I was out putting up lights on the house the other day.
2 weeks ago.
That wasn't 2 weeks ago.
Totally was, because I had to put them up before Thanksgiving. Well, now that you all know that Blake spends very little time outdoors and doesn't know
I'm
about...
I'm sorry, I'm too busy making a fantastic podcast.
That's it, man.
To which everybody should be listening.
We should do an outdoor version so people can hear, like in the spring, like little tweeting birds and stuff. That'd be precious. Yeah, no. Very Fraser's Ridge-ish.
And by the way, I also want to say, too, thank you for everybody for being patient with this episode. I know that if you're listening to these as these do come out, we're actually about a couple of days late on this bad boy.
Sorry
about that. And we're actually late on our podcast for This Is Us 2 as well, our show dedicated to This Is Us. Things have been crazy in House Larson. I figure we're doing the best that we can, so.
Parent life. That's
yeah, hashtag parenting.
Yes. Well, before we get into the show, we of course want to remind you that you can follow us and subscribe to the podcast. If you have not hit the subscribe button, guys, you got to do that. Like, pause what you're doing and go back, hit subscribe, and come on back. Well, you can of course find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all by searching the title Outlander Cast. And you can become an official member of the Outlander Cast clan at OutlanderCastClan.com. There you can get great benefits and extras this season, like the extra After Dark podcast.
Say it right.
After Dark.
There you go.
Podcast episodes, access to special Outlander Cast giveaways, which you'll hear more about at the end of this episode, free swag, and much, much more.
Are you ready, kiddo?
Always.
Let's bring it.
So, of course, this is the listener feedback episode. And first up, we have some replies from the website.
The first one comes from Jennifer. She says she's a longtime podcast listener, and this is the first time commenting. Thank you very much. I wasn't sure if this was already called out, but after watching episode 4, I remembered in episode 3 at about the 16:12 mark, the scene transitioned from Roger and Brianna driving to Jamie, Claire, and Wee Ian, and John Quincy Myers traveling out looked like the very same path. based on the mountain in the background. At first, I thought it just seemed like a neat little editing trick, but after seeing episode 4, where Roger confirms that Fraser's Ridge was located at the same place as the Scottish festival they attended, I wonder if something was more significant about this detail. After watching shows like Outlander of Game of Thrones, I know small details like that are often included intentionally as a type of foreshadowing for the viewers, so maybe there's something more there, or maybe I spend too much time looking for clues.
There's no such thing.
No, we're all nerds here. Just embrace it.
Yes.
Either way, she thought that it was interesting. And, you know, listen, Jennifer, I think you're right. The showrunners do include these things for a purpose. And I think that purpose was exactly what the showrunners gave you, mm-hmm. which was what Roger said to Brianna. This was the same mountain that we were at.
Exactly.
That's where your parents lived. And that, I think, is by design, because I think that is also what helps prompt Bree to go back in time.
It makes it more real. It's like, I was just there. We can do this. I was there now. Why can't I go there then?
Right, exactly.
Well, Sharon wrote in and said, I too loved First Wife and was sad to read today that Joy Blake has left the Outlander writing team. Mm-hmm. She tweeted that Common Ground is her last episode of Outlander. I'll move on. Joy Blake.
If there's one thing I've ever learned from my therapist, is sometimes you just got to talk about it.
Okay, bring it out.
Sometimes you just got to get the poison out and let it be known to the world that something sucks. And you know what? This is the anti-outstanding, okay? If there was a song that I could think of that would be the opposite of the outstanding, this mm-hmm. would be it.
Oh, this. Not outstanding.
Not, you know what? I think we have to play the not great Bob sound. Yeah, that's what we need. Not great Bob. Hold on, I got it right here.
How are you? Not great Bob.
There you go.
That's, what is that from?
That's from Mad Men.
Oh, yeah. No. Nope.
Not great Bob. that's exactly what this is.
Well, Dawn wrote in on the
website.
Hey
guys, what do you want to do today?
Nothing. Leave me alone, YouTube clip.
Sorry, I don't know
Blake
what that...
Blake forgot to press pause.
I did. No, but listen, Joy Blake is leaving the show.
People are listening saying, who the hell is talking?
I know. Joy Blake is leaving the show, unfortunately. And it is the case. It is what it is. She is moving on to two new projects, one of which is the new show for Amazon called The Dark Tower, which is an adaptation of the Stephen King book, which was actually just recently made into a movie that starred Matthew McConaughey and Idris Elba, which is going to be an interesting project, especially for Amazon, because no one has been able to tackle The Dark Tower and get it right. So I hope Joy Blake does well in it. And she also let it be known that all of the writer's room is kind of being shuffled mm-hmm. for season 5 and 6. They're bringing in a whole new crop. Kind of like how they did with season 3 of Outlander. They brought in a whole new crop of writers. I will say that I think it's kind of unfortunate that Joy Blake is leaving. I always have said that, you know, you can... Writers leave all the time, whether they get... you know, new titles, or they become showrunners themselves, or perhaps they're working on passion projects, or they just get more money somewhere else. And writers come in and out of writers' rooms all the time. It happens.
It's like dating.
Yes, it is, kind of. Because, you know, these guys work on a season-to-season contracts, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, what they're doing is they're working on a show for probably 25 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Not even. Because you think about development and everything on top of the actual writing itself, they're probably working on it maybe for 25 weeks, maybe 20 weeks at most. You know, they got to find jobs elsewhere too.
Listen, you can have your summer fling, but then you got to move on, right?
Right. And that, it is what it is.
It's not long term. When you think about it, like they must be, I mean, people who work in the industry, the TV, the television and film industry, it's so exciting. It's thrilling. And then it's done. And you're like, crap, now I need a new job.
Right. And they're protected, too. I mean, they have the Writers Guild Association. And, you know, it's so they're protected. They have their mm-hmm. they have their union, which mm-hmm. is great, you know, as does the Directors Guild and the Producers Guild. Yeah, they all got guilds. And it makes sense. But it just sucks because I feel like elite showrunners hold on to their elite writers. And I'm not saying that Joy Blake is elite, but I'm saying that I think that she's probably the best out of the group that has been brought in for seasons 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. And you want to maintain that. I mean, yes. Ron Moore maintained that with Tony Graffia for years, you know, all the way dating back to BSG. I said in a comment in the clan gathering on Facebook, you know, Damon Lindelof held on to Drew Goddard for years during Lost. Mm-hmm. They had new writers come in and out of Lost all the time.
Yep.
Right? And so I feel like, I mean, like, what are we doing here? Right? Like, let's hold on to our good writers and let's make it work.
I hear you.
I don't know. By the way, I didn't play this. I have to play it.
We have to go back, Kate.
Yes, you did. You gave your Lost reference.
Of course I did.
Well, Dawn wrote in on the website and said, "Hi, Mary and Blake. I have to say I loved seeing the Claire-Marcelly exchange. To me, their dynamic is so very authentic. Of course their relationship is strange because of Leary, a.k.a. like hair, but it's
yes,
also
like
cordial. I enjoy seeing Lauren Lyle in the role. I think she could pass for Nell Hudson's sister." Totally agree with you, Dawn.
Yep.
"Of course, Marcelly is missing her mom, wanting her counsel and advice, especially being pregnant. I understand. I lost my mom a few short months ago myself. I'm sorry, Dawn. Sending you hugs. Claire was so sweet with her. She had every right to bash Leary to Marcelly. I have her view colored by my past with her, but she didn't say any of that to Marcelly. She was kind, offering advice woman to woman."
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
"Claire also made the effort to see the good in Leary as a mom to Marcelly. Really, the only thing we know about Leary is that she has this deep obsession for Jamie, and she's hardly the only one. Black Jack, the Duke of Sandringham, John Grey, Geneva, on and on and on. So it's nice to think that Leary loved her daughter. Speaking of which, speak of the devil, he appears. Perhaps there might be a Leary sighting soon." "Nell Hudson is so good in the role. I can't stand the character. Oh, Jamie and Claire. Was I the only one hoping for a wild sex scene against that tree?" No, Dawn, you were not the only one. "And I agree with you. I also want to see Murtaugh. It's way past time. I also want a Frank flashback through Bree's eyes and so much more. Please let us have one more character-driven episodes. We are few episodes into Outlander and not too many more left."
That's right. We actually, we're after this next episode, we're going to be a third of the way done with Outlander. Can you imagine that?
I can't.
Third.
Blasphemy.
We're basically a third there, but after next week, we are absolutely a third of the way done.
Mm-hmm.
And here's something that I think you said that is important, but I want to make sure that we, as a collective, you know, as a clan and as TV watchers in general, this is an important distinction that I want to make, and it's something that I have only learned recently. We talk about character-driven episodes.
Yes.
Yes, 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 absolutely. But it's more than just character-driven. It's character relationships.
Ooh.
Okay? If the people don't have relationships, there's no point in having characters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So how someone interacts with another person is the whole point. For example, do you remember the movie with Tom Hanks? Where he gets stranded, Castaway.
Yes,
great, Castaway. That is not is a huge character study, but you would think it's just Tom Hanks. It's just Tom Hanks. He's out there on an island, losing weight and getting and being the god of fire. Blah blah blah. You know, right? And you're right. But notice what the writers did in order to get this character to come alive. They made Wilson. A character doesn't have to be a person. It doesn't have to be anything. It can be a freaking volleyball.
Yep.
But the most heartbreaking scene, the one where you realize the kind of person that Tom Hanks became, is when he's going, "Wilson!" He's screaming about a freaking volleyball. It's because he had a relationship with that volleyball. That is what makes that scene memorable.
Yep.
And what makes that movie so special, because of a volleyball. That is the distinction that we have to make. I also think that having Murtaugh back is...
Oh my God. It needs
absolute,
to happen.
It's the absolute right move. It will totally not save this season, but it will be special.
Rumor has it it's happening this weekend, guys.
And it makes sense because, again, like we talked about last episode, this is the conclusion of the first act, this coming episode, right? Mm-hmm. It's the conclusion.
But like
And
people are saying they're feeling it. They're feeling the Murtaugh.
Right, because bringing him in for the second act makes sense. That's part of our conflict that will be happening.
If he dies right away, watch out. He'll have no fury like the Murtaugh lovers.
And absolutely, you actually said something to me too last episode, my darling, when you said, hey, so what made you think that Bree found out, or what makes you think that Bree wants to go back?
Mm-hmm.
She obviously gets the news from Roger.
Mm-hmm.
That her parents made it, whatever. But if you recall back to season 3, before he died, Frank wrote the Reverend saying, hey, I need you to look into this guy for me.
Check in on this little
check in situation. On this guy. See if you can get this research done, which is probably why Fiona has all of those letters and all those documents in the house, because that's who got the documentation, right? I feel like Bree gets the information somehow, or she gets it indirectly, and I also think that Frank wrote letters to Bree, and I think we're going to see some flashbacks with Frank, and they're going to be coming from Frank's point of view, and that is what gets Bree to go to Scotland. Because something of her dad is telling her, go be with your father. Whatever. I don't know. I'm not sure yet. But I feel like we're going to get some Frank flashbacks here. And I feel like Tobias Menzies is also going to make his debut for season 4 in the next episode. That's just me.
Will we hear the clarinet? That's what I want to know.
We will absolutely be hearing that banging clarinet. I cannot wait to hear Frank's themes coming on. I'm telling you, I'm going to play some Whitney as soon as Frank comes on. Whitney's coming out. That'll be our intro song.
Okay. Now that you've offered a bajillion Outlandish theories, let's continue with the listener feedback.
Kathy Van Wessup says, I just wanted to address why the Cherokee were doing the bear dance ceremony while Jamie was fighting on the man bear. When they banished him from the tribe, that he was dead to them. He was invisible. So the Cherokee could not kill what they feel like was already dead. So they were trying to get rid of him on the spirit level. And if you read the script, that there is a translation of what is being said, and there are notations from Tony Graffia, as well as an explanation on the podcast with Merrill Davis and Tony. So here you go. Here's an opportunity. As soon as you're done listening to this, go listen to the official Outlander podcast, which is apparently starring for this week, Tony and Merrill Davis, and they explain the man bear thing. And I'm glad that they did that.
Yeah, because it was confusing.
Right. And here's the question, and the question I want to ask you. I remember when...
Can I do a dance like that to get people out of my life?
I remember when we watched the finale of Lost.
We have to go back, Kate.
And you said, Blake, I liked it, but I shouldn't have to go to these other websites, and I shouldn't have to listen to podcasts to get this information. It should all
be clear.
It should be clear from the writer's perspective of what they were trying to accomplish. It's okay to be ambiguous, but it should be clear what their intentions are.
Yes.
Do you agree with the fact that you should have to go to the official Outlander podcast to get this taken care of?
No. If there's little cute Easter eggs, and if they want to delve into more about something, wonderful. But if this is something that I'm supposed to be understanding in the plot, like, are they trying to kill Jamie through, like, possessing this bear man? Or are they... I would have no way, shape, or form understood that they were trying to get rid of the bear man in that dance.
Totally
Still,
agree.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, having watched it multiple times, I don't get that out of that at all. So unless you had this other information, it was just in there, did not make sense.
Totally agree.
Yes. There are situations when I think it's great to have I always think it's great to have the companion podcast. I always think it's great to have the extra discussions. But if something is really unclear to me as a viewer and it's part of the plot.
Yep.
That's not fair.
It should be clear. Again, ambiguous is one thing, and that's fine. If you're meant to engage with the material, which I think this is kind of like that, but the way that it was edited was misleading.
Mm-hmm.
It was misleading, and once it becomes misleading, then it's like, well, what are we even doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I can't parse it out myself as an intelligent, engaged viewer, then I think there's an error that's been made on the writing.
And especially because, you know, even us book readers, this was something completely new, a different element. So often as a book reader, I don't sit there going, what's going on? And I was. And then yep. It didn't make sense to me. So, yeah, that's why my meh about this past episode.
I would agree with
on
you.
On Facebook, what do we got?
Maureen Perot says, hey, Mary and Blake, just listened and wanted to point out that the actress who plays Adewahe, is Tantu Cardinal, was also in Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman from 1993 to 1995, which also was written by Tony Graffia during that time.
What?
Imagine that.
What?
Imagine that.
Oh my gosh, I freaking loved that show. Did you used to watch it?
No, I was not. I was not a big Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. Although I do love Jane Seymour. She's
so hot. How old is she now, too? Man. She's like still banging, man.
Although I can't. I do love Jane Seymour, but my memory of her now has been scarred.
Did you see something naughty? She's what? Tiny. She's 5'4".
Is she really?
She is. Little peanut.
No, my memory of
compared to us.
I know. Of Jane's, everybody's teeny tiny in comparison to us. I'm 6'4", and you're 6 feet.
Like, she was married and divorced 4 times.
It's been scarred a little bit because of her appearance in Wedding Crashers. And she, you know, when she's hitting on Owen Wilson, she's saying, call me Kitty Cat. You know, like.
Oh, dear.
Kitty Cat.
No, luckily I didn't see it, but loved that show. Shout out to all the Dr. Quinn Medicine Women lovers right here. Well, before we delve in, we're going to take a quick break.
So as you guys know, that this episode is brought to you by Caswell Massey. And, you know, we've talked about Caswell Massey a lot. And actually, I got a whole thing here that I wanted to read. But here, let me just get this out right away for you.
Okay.
Go to CaswellMassey.com for all your shopping needs and whatever, and use OutlanderCast at the checkout for 20% off. Okay, that's what we want you to do. And like I said, I got this whole thing I'm supposed to read here that I wanted to do, but I'm nixing it because I want to tell you a quick story about Caswell Massey that happened to me.
Tell me.
A listener messaged me and said, "Hey, you talked about Tricorn on the last episode,
uh-huh.
And I wanted to let you know that my husband wore Tricorn when we first met.
Aww.
So when I found out that they made it again, I went to Caswell Massey. I bought it with your discount. I got it at a much lower rate than I normally ever would. And I'm so excited because we've been married for 33 years and it's freaking awesome, right?
Hey.
I was so happy. I shared this with the people at Caswell Massey. And I want to tell you how amazing these people are. Yes, they got great products, but they actually really do care about you, the customer. I swear to God, they're not telling me to tell you this or nothing.
Nope.
They asked for her address, and they said, listen, we care about you so much, we actually want to send you a whole bunch of other stuff. Because you're a loyal customer, we're treating you right, and we're taking care of you. And so I gave them her address, and they're sending her a whole bunch of stuff because she's a loyal customer. And they just offered it to her.
How awesome.
I know this is not like a normal advertisement or whatever, but it's an important story that we always talk about, that they care about their product, but yep, they care about their customers even more. And this is the honest to God truth. This just happened 2 days ago.
Love it.
So if you do want to go out there and buy Caswell Massey stuff and support them, you should. Yes, they're a good Rhode Island company, that they were founded here. Go to CaswellMassey.com, buy Tricorn, buy the number 6, whatever, and use OutlanderCast at checkout. But they take care of you, and you guys should all know that. All right. So this one, now we got the emails. This one comes from Kristen. This was the best episode since season 1. My husband and I were on the edge of our seats. Oh, man. 5 kilts, no question. The good was the incredible drama of the vulnerability on Fraser's Ridge. The soundtrack during these scary Rollo Starling scenes was incredible. We're genuinely frightened. The bad. How could John Quincy Myers maybe have clued them into at least there were 2 people in the Cherokee community who spoke Harvard-level English? Come on.
Oh, my gosh.
She sounds like me. Come on. What are we doing here?
Oh, my gosh.
It was so cool that Jamie learned the two Cherokee words, but seriously?
John Quincy Myers could have totally been like, oh my God, you don't need to learn Cherokee. There's just these two guys.
We got
this
you,
one,
bro.
Look at that guy. They'll actually quote Shakespeare for you.
But the great, and it's a tie, which is the gorgeous new theme song for the Americas and Fraser's Ridge.
Yes.
It's a beautifully heart-throbbing tune, and she cried because of it. And the second great is a three-way thing. Oh, geez. Roger's reveal to Brianna, oh my God, America's history unfolding with one document of a deed, then her muted response. And I thought, wait a minute, she's not seriously satisfied with one glimpse of her parents' lives. And then her roommate casually saying, oh yeah, she's gone to Scotland to
NBD.
See
no
her mother,
deal.
Right? Like, what are we doing here? Right, Kristen? What are we doing here?
I love it. Well, from Christine, she wrote in, thanks for your continued amazing work on the podcast. Love the perspective you both bring. In addition to how you organize all of the listener feedback, I listen on my commute and find myself talking to you often on my drive.
Yes.
I want to be in the room and be part of the conversation when you're making the podcast. I love it, Christine. That's how I feel as a podcast listener, too. She completely agrees with Diana. Each episode is better than the one before. However, Christine has had to watch Common Ground 4 times to figure out what her GBG and kilt rating are. Like, rewatching is a problem. So she said her kilt rating is a 4.5. As much as I enjoyed the episode, as much as I love all of the small conversations in the world building, I felt it was episodic and more plot driven than The False Bride.
Oh.
Her good was, I appreciate the adaptive choice that Taim is making. For example, the Cherokee and the bear storylines were both well adapted. It is frustrating that there are only 13 episodes and so much story to tell. At the end of each episode, I am annoyed that I have to wait a full week to see what parts of the story they will include next. Her bad was, there was less of Roger and Bree than last week. I understand Claire and Jamie are the focus of the story, but Roger and Bree are the next generation. They are important for what is to come. We need their story. I wasn't a huge fan of Roger and Bree in the books. Like most, Bree annoyed me, and I just wanted to get back to Claire and Jamie. But as they have been adapted in the show, I've come to truly appreciate them, especially Rick Rankin. And I want more. I just added that sound effect, guys. Her great is the irony of Claire and Jamie's assessment of the view at Fraser's Ridge. I couldn't help but laugh when Claire said that as a painting, it wouldn't look real. The CGI of this image is so bad. And Claire acknowledged that for all of us.
I put that one in there just for you because you're the one who also called it out as well.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it just... We're struggling with the green screens. This one comes from Jeffrey. He says, love you guys. Thank you. Were the writers and showrunners having a little fun with the viewers when Claire looks at the CGI landscape, which you guys have understandably been making fun of, and she says, it's so beautiful it looks like a painting. I don't recall that show ever being that meta, but I loved it. It's funny how a lot of people picked up on that. I'm surprised. This one comes from Meredith. She says, I have an outlandish theory of my own.
Bring it on.
Oh, okay, hold on. We gotta hold on. Where is my...
I don't know. I just made it up.
I know you did. Hold on.
I made a completely different song.
Dun, dun, dun. You see, you went the you reversed it. That's the problem.
No, you know what my problem is? Is I'm still looking at Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, and holy smokes, Jane Seymour doesn't look any older, but Joe Lando, the guy that was so hot.
Oh yeah,
nope.
No, not so much.
Nope. He's nope.
He's hurting.
He did not hold up to time the way Jane Seymour did.
Kitty cat.
Look at him. See, he looks his age. He's still dashing,
uh-huh.
But he's not. Jane Seymour, she's drinking the fountain of youth. Continue. Sorry. Meredith's outlandish theory.
Maybe she does that thing that Kate Beckinsale does.
I don't know with what that
the means. Or
hey, was it the blood thing?
No. It's the
Vampire facials. Guys, Google that. It's so weird. Vampire facials.
No, the penis one.
Oh, stop. Oh my god.
This is the one that Sandra Bullock does too.
Oh, I'm vomiting. Joe Lando does not do those facials.
No, I don't think he does that.
Okay,
either.
Continue with Meredith's outlandish theory as I take some deep breaths.
I feel like we owe it to the listeners.
Stop.
Now that I've brought it up.
Stop. They could Google it if they're interested.
Okay.
There are people listening who are eating.
This does sound terrible.
Stop.
It does sound X-rated,
but
it's not.
They might have a Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich in their mouth right now.
I'm just saying it's called the penis facial.
Stop.
Okay? That's all I'm going to say.
Stop.
Just Google it. It's there for your consumption if you'd like.
Consumption.
Stop.
All right. So
just
Meredith.
Move on. Poor Meredith. She's like, really, guys? She's
talking about penis facials.
She's like, I did the opening to this week, and this is how you reward me.
Maybe Jane Seymour does it. I know Kate Beckinsale does it, and I know Sandra Bullock does it.
I need some ginger ale.
All right. She says, I believe that Brianna found out about the death notice from Frank. Oh, my goodness. She and I are on the same level here. We know that Claire had never had to go back, but before something changed in the present, she saw Galus's skeleton before she left. In the pilot sheet, the Reverend mentioned the Duke of Sandringham dying under the mysterious circumstances. So who's to say that Frank didn't find the death notice himself sometime before his death? But having seen it, he couldn't bear to tell Claire what he knew or how long he knew it. So maybe he left the notice or letter tucked into one of his books in the study, hoping Claire would find it, perhaps. But instead, Brianna found it. Mary, what do you think about this?
Interesting.
Fantastic.
We should get my mom to record her interesting.
You know I'm on board with it.
I know.
You know I'm absolutely on board with it.
I'm totally going to ask her to do it.
But you know it's going to cause problems, right?
She doesn't know how to listen to a podcast.
But she's going to ask you why she's doing it, and you're going to have to explain
tell
it
her.
To her.
Oh, I'm honest with my mom. I've told her. I said, you're interesting is now a thing, because it doesn't really mean interesting.
Does she know that it's become an international thing? That thousands of people across the globe...
I don't think my mom understands what we do.
...are now referring to interesting as like a thing.
Judgy.
Interesting.
It's not always bad.
I wonder if she would say interesting to that.
Oh, she totally would.
All right, so I have to read this next one. This one comes from the OutlanderCastClan.com.
Okay.
Our official clan page, where you can join. So just go to OutlanderCastClan.com and become a supporter there. This one comes from Angela Hickey. And she says, I keep three squishy stress balls on my end table. So
Three. One for each hand in your foot? What's going on?
So when Outlander does something really dumb, or when I'm listening to the Stars podcast, and they say something that makes me cringe, I can throw a stress ball at the TV with no damage.
Gotcha. Now I'm down.
And she says, Blake?
Yes?
You make me want to do that when you mock book moments and you have no idea how it is structured or present.
Oh my gosh, the stress balls that were thrown pretend at you, Blake.
I know.
Hold on, Spider Monkey.
hold on, we get that too.
Say it out loud.
That's my good Twilight reference.
I wonder if there's Outlander stress balls. We should make one.
See, you make me want to do that when you mock the book, and you don't know the purpose that it serves or how well it accomplishes the purpose itself, or when you blame the in quotes, source material for things when you have no idea if that's what they did or if that was even in the source. The chapter that includes the bear fight is a significant moment in the book, a turning point of development and understanding for both Jamie and the area Tuscarora, which are Cherokee in the show. Until then, Jamie had no firsthand experience with the wildlife danger here or how savaged the area Indians were. He heard many stories, but for no firsthand knowledge. It is a beautiful, poignant, exciting, and humorous section. The show version was not the better choice. The book version was natural and much less contrived and did a better job connecting. It promoted a commonality of understanding and respect on both of the parts of the Indians and Jamie as they learn through their customs and the treatment of the bear carcass. They develop a mutual respect, trust, and friendship that begins in that scene. You are judging a, in quotes, better choice when you don't know how the other choice plays out. It's actually quite lovely and emotional, and it is more connective to the Cherokee than what they did on the show. The only reason why the show did what it did would be a better choice is money or technical difficulty. And that is it. Personally, I don't think 1 to 2 minutes of screen time for a CGI bear would have been too much to ask. All we needed was it rising behind Claire and tussling a bit with Jamie. Claire hitting it with the fish before they tumble off camera to the woods, adding tension by showing Claire hearing the fight sounds in the woods mm-hmm. and not knowing what is happening. Mm-hmm. The bear would need very little actual screen time. I don't think that is too big for a cable show. Game of Thrones does a ton of CGI work with the dragons, wolves, giants, and other creatures. American Gods on Stars does as well. So you don't need a revenant budget to develop 1 to 2 minutes of a CGI bear. I greatly missed all of the moments around that scene, and it seemed much more natural and less contrived than what the show did. And in the end, you felt a real bond starting. You saw an understanding in each side Native Americans Jamie recognize and respect their mutual customs and attitudes. And in that scene, they discover their cultural commonalities. And the idea of the Cherokee calling him Bear Killer because he killed a crazy man dressed as a bear felt a bit ridiculous to me. That all being said, I liked the episode, and what they did was okay. Not better. And as far as you think it's ridiculous, it's absolutely not. This is the wilderness. Black bear are everywhere. They hunt bear for meat and pelts. They live on the back country. The natural dangers of wildlife is an ongoing thing. And the show will have to deal with it eventually. Mountain lions, bears, buffaloes, boars, these are all dangers they face in the back country. It is part of this life. Well, Angela, listen, I have a couple of things to say to all of this. Number one, this is art. Okay, and it is all subject to interpretation. People love things that I hate. I love things that people hate. Sometimes we get on board with it together, and sometimes people hate things mutually. That is the beautiful part of art. It is worthy of our time and is worthy of our interpretation. Secondly, I didn't say that the aspect of the bear, if they could do it properly, would having Jamie fight a bear in the show, would it work? Maybe. I don't see many people surviving a whole ton of bear encounters. I just don't read about it a whole ton, but maybe I'm wrong. The problem that you see, one of the things that you cite is that, well, hey, Game of Thrones does it. So does American Gods. They have these big, huge CGI moments with the dragons and the wolves and whatever. And you know what? First of all, the budgets on those shows, especially Game of Thrones, one Game of Thrones episode is probably the entire budget for all of Outlander, okay? But more importantly, it's a necessary part of the show. Without CGI dragons, there is no show. Thirdly, just because that is the way that it is, and that because it's part of the story, and because they have a ton of money, doesn't mean that CGI is that good either. Whenever you see Daenerys flying on that dragon, it looks kind of stupid. It does. And it doesn't look natural. Because your eye is too smart. So yeah, could you have a minute or two of a bear fighting Jaime? Sure. But it's going to look stupid. It's going to look stupid no matter what you do. And will it go off into the grass and will they just hear the sounds and create more tension? Absolutely. I would like that. But you know what would happen? People would complain because it would look stupid. And then they would say, why aren't you showing people that Jamie fight the bear? He fought the bear in the book. Why can't we see that? In terms of the connection and all the other stuff with the Cherokee, I think that's all subject to interpretation. I liked how they did it in the show. I think having Jamie fight a man bear in the show makes more sense. And it makes more fiscal sense. And it makes for a better product on the television screen. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. If they could get it right with the bear, if they could give us a Revenant-style fight with Jamie and the bear, then yeah, I'm on board. Because that freaking fight scene in The Revenant was incredible. But that's because they spent a lot of money making it work. You're not going to get that on a television show. So I think that's where we differ. On Kroll says, the legwear Claire was wearing with her pants, they're called gaiters. So, and just throwing that out there, so many people corrected me on that. It's kind of hard to imagine. All right, so now we got our voicemails. Let's get to it. What do you think?
Perfect.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Suzanne from Northern Maine. First time calling this season.
All right.
Called last season. Love listening to your podcast. I hope you can understand this. I can't use your computer thing yet. I'm going to try to install the stuff that I'm says that I'm missing. Anyway, I'm calling about Common Ground. I am a long-time book reader and listener, and but I think I love the show because it's a whole new way of enjoying the stories that I love, and so I totally don't mind when they switch things around. Anyway, I love the whole thing with the bear and the way that they recognized it. Mary, I don't know if you missed the fish, though. Claire attacks the bear with a fish in the book, and it's really funny. And so that I missed. But otherwise, I definitely give this episode 5 kilts. The only thing I wanted to comment about with your podcast, the downer comment about, you know, death is sent from the gods. The actual line in the book is sickness is sent from the gods and it won't be your fault. And it's really important, actually, even though it is a downer, it's a really important line in the book, and that's why they included it, I think. And that's it. I love your podcast. Listen to it every week, twice a week. And can't wait to hear the feedback on this and can't wait for the rest of the season. Talk to you guys soon, and we'll be listening.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. You know, it's funny hearing these subtle little changes from
like the
book.
Fish.
Like the fish. Like, did Claire really fight a bear with a fish?
Slapped it, man.
I don't think there's anything more disrespectful on this planet than getting slapped with a dead fish.
Well, that's why they showed her gutting the fish. It was like a little tribute. Just like how when we heard the wolf howl in season one, that mm-hmm. was the tribute to Claire fighting a wolf.
Yes. Okay. Actually, I think that was our only voicemail. And the reason why that's our only voicemail is because for some reason, SpeakPipe, the app that we do use right now is actually down for some reason. And I can try to bring it back up again. If you just bear with me for one moment, let's see if it'll load. And of course it's not loading. So, for some reason our SpeakPipe is down. I don't understand why. I will tell you this, however, next week.
Yes.
Next week. All of your SpeakPipe messages that you left for this week will be on next episode.
Good. Okay. A little extra.
So you're going to get some bonus Outlander cast. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I feel bad. I know a lot of people put a lot of time and effort into their voicemails and I really appreciate it. But for some reason it's just not loading right now and, we're going to include it. So, let's talk about our giveaways real quick.
Okay.
Our giveaways this week, the first one we're giving away is the Heritage Presidential Premium Gift Set from Caswell Massey. This includes the 2 15-milliliter bottles of the number 6.
Nice.
Here Comes the General and the Jockey Club, which was worn by your boy, John Kennedy. And there also includes 2 bar soaps and 1 Castile bar soap with a value of $90. Now, you can find this giveaway at OutlanderCastClan.com. Okay, so go to OutlanderCastClan.com and you will see the giveaway there. Become a member, become a supporter, and you will have the ability to enter into this giveaway. And the likelihood of you winning is actually much greater than winning the next giveaway because there are less members at the OutlanderCast Clan. This giveaway, the second one, is actually at OutlanderCastClan.com. OutlanderCastClanGiveaway.com. Everybody,
say it one more time so it's clear. Okay. OutlanderCast.
The second, this yes. upcoming giveaway is yep. OutlanderCastClanGiveaway.com. This is available for everybody, all of our listeners, all the tens of thousands of you out there. You can go to OutlanderCastClanGiveaway.com and enter to win the Heritage Discovery Set, which is the 4 50-milliliter bottles of the Jockey Club, worn by your boy Kennedy, one called the Newport, one called the Tricorn, and one called Greenbrier, with a value of $60. So go to OutlanderCastClanGiveaway.com for that giveaway. I'm really excited about these 2 giveaways. I think this is the best giveaway we've given out yet so far. So go to CaswellMassey.com and thank them, or check them out on Facebook and thank them there as well. My love, are you ready to close this bad boy
out?
Yes, I am. All right, let's close this show out.
So much for taking the time to listen to this podcast episode and for also taking the time to tell your friends about it. We want to give a huge shout out to Maribel3059, who on iTunes said, First off, these are my people. That's what she wrote as the title. I really should have written a review long ago, but I'm finally doing it. With this podcast, I have finally found my people. Blake and Mary are just genuine people who happen to love and talk about the same thing I love. I can't speak.
I'm Ron Burgundy?
I don't know what TBH means.
To be honest.
Oh.
Yeah, that new lingo, the kids. You get the bell for that one.
Anyway, she said, to be honest, I love when they disagree. She said they made me feel like I'm in the room with them. And she said also, hashtag couple goals. Sorry, Maribel.
Oh, I don't know what...
I'm not up on the lingo.
Mary was literally trying to sound out TBH.
Oh,
I could just
man.
See her eyes widened.
They weren't working. Like, what could that be?
Her pupils got to be the size of her... Got to be the size of, like, her... Her cornea. Her brain just stopped.
What I can do is thank our patrons at the associate producer level and above.
Oh my God, I'm
Angie,
sweating.
Carolyn, Celine, Diane, Heather, Jennifer, Lauren, Linda, Marilyn, Mary, Michelle, Patricia, and Summer, as well as our co-producer level, Barbara, Carolyn, Christina, Dana, Dieta, Janet, Keelan, Lisa, Liz, Marianne, Meredith, Rainel, Sharon, Sue, Tara, Tina, Tracy, and last but not least, Anne, Bobby, Jen, Martha, Peg, and Sarah. Thank you all to the Outlander cast staff. You guys rock. We love you all so much.
I don't know why I'm
Mary.
My name's Tuba.
And you've been listening to Outlandercast.
Oh, thank you guys. Love you.